All right, welcome to the pregame show. Bill Lasky in for Marty Lurie. And, of course, our next guest is, you can hear him every day, Monday through Friday, on the KMBR leadoff spot at 5 in the morning, and also with Murph and Mac. Let's welcome in Adam Copeland. What's up, bud? How are you doing, Adam?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you today, man?
I'm doing good. How do you like it? How are you liking this heat and Labor Day?
It's nice, dude. I got out a little bit earlier. I was walking around North Beach. It's kind of busy in North Beach, but it's a warm day, man. It's like a real summer day for Labor Day. So I hope everybody's keeping their distance from each other, and I hope that that the fires are still okay with the heat rolling in.
And make sure they hydrate with the right water, right, Adam?
Yeah, that's it. You got to get the right water, dude.
That's right.
If you get the wrong water, Bill, then you need to hydrate more.
Then you'll be sleeping soon. Anyway, Adam, Dickerson hit 3 home runs, and you outdid him the next day as you tweeted out. Marcell Ozuna and Adam Duvall both hit 3-run home runs each back-to-back, and you researched this. Since 1930, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig did that. I was just impressed. How did you do that, and how did you find out all that info?
Well, I didn't research it myself. There's a great Twitter follow, and I tell anybody to go follow him. I just love random stats, and baseball, I think, Bill, has more than just about any sport, because we've effectively been playing the same game for like 150 years,
Yeah.
So these records go back to the dead ball era, and we get the different eras, but for the most part, it was 90 feet bases, 60 feet, 6 inches. We were playing with a ball and a bat, and it was, some of these records go forever, but the note, and this Twitter follow is, it's at stats by stats is the name of the follow. And they put out random stats like this. So the Dickerson game happens, and Marcell Ozuna the same night, of course, it's 3 home runs. And by the way, Bill, that had only happened one other time in baseball history, where two guys had homered 3 times on the same night and drove in 6 runs or more. And it was in 1970. It was Johnny Bench and Orlando Cepeda did it on the same night. But the next day, then, Adam Duvall hits 3 home runs for the Braves. And the note is that no other teammates had ever hit 3 home runs on back-to-back days besides Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. And the bonanza thing about this is that Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth had doubleheaders involved, that it wasn't even back-to-back ball games. So a pretty cool note. It's why baseball's so great. Even in a 60-game season, we get treated to crazy stuff like that. And so I thought, on top of the Dickerson 3 home runs, that was just a really, really cool note, like factoid to get out of baseball.
Well, when I read it, I was just like, look at you, Adam. You're really researching this stuff, because I didn't know
credit,
that,
though.
And I tell you, it was fascinating.
Too much credit.
It was really fascinating, because I'm like, my goodness, back in 1930 that happened, and there's been a lot of things going on. Of course, when the Giants scored 23 runs, everybody was throwing every stat you could see. And even from that game on, the Giants' offense has just been dominant. And of course, today at 6:15, we're going to see Madison Bumgarner, and that's been the subject on this whole pregame. What do you feel is going to happen with Madison? Madison is coming off some very terrible pitching, 4 games that he has just not been the same Madison Bumgarner we know. And I threw it out there to an Arizona Republic writer today, and I said, what do you think? And he goes, I don't know who we're going to see, because we haven't seen the regular Madison Bumgarner that you guys have seen for 11 years. I think that's what Giant fans want to see. Are we going to see a guy struggling, or are we going to see a guy that's going to come out and dominate?
Well, I think it would be foolish to, after 4 starts, to assume, based on his track record and what we've seen, as you just mentioned, for 11 years, that like the last 4 starts are who this guy is now. I think we should totally believe in the fact that Bumgarner can still be the Bumgarner that we knew and came to love and got 3 world championships with. But I also... He definitely, for the first 4 starts of this season, was not the same guy. And maybe that's why they put him on the IL. Maybe there really was something wrong that he needed to figure out. And as you know, sometimes guys just go on the IL because they need a little bit of a blow, and they got to have a break and try to correct something maybe in the rotation, in the mechanics maybe. So I don't know. I'm optimistic that he can be the Bumgarner we've seen. The one thing I think that he can hang his hat on is that his best starts – really, all of the last 2 seasons came at Oracle Park. Now, the difference is that this is a different Oracle Park than we've seen or that he's ever pitched in. And because it's such a hot night, as you already mentioned, I'd anticipate tonight's going to be a game where the ball can leave the ballpark pretty quickly. It happened last night. It was a pretty warm evening, too. So I don't know. I you know, for the Giants' sake, I hope that they come away with the win. But Kruko said it on the morning show earlier this week. What you're hoping for is Bumgarner has a decent outing, he gets a no decision, and the Giants still win the ballgame. I think that's a fan favorite for all Giants fans.
Yeah, there you go.
Fan favorite. You don't do anything too bad. And you don't hang any L's on your ledger. So, of course, we're rooting for the Giants' win. But I wouldn't mind seeing Bumgarner pitch okay and taking the decision, you know?
Well, I tell you what, Trevor Cahill coming out here and, you know, yesterday, you know, Anderson facing the Diamondbacks three straight times. It just never happens from a pitcher's point.
Yeah, as a starting pitcher, usually,
you know, once in a while, Adam, you do get him at home. And then the next time when you go on the road, you face him back to back. But not three times. I just can't believe that. And now Trevor Cahill's going to do that today. And, of course, the hip's now feeling better. So we're looking to see him pitch a little longer, hopefully. But we also have that cause of maybe it isn't 100% and you might have to go to that bullpen soon.
Yeah, and I think that's – I would imagine that that's a conversation that's had, right? Like the bullpen guys have to know on a day like this that, hey, if a guy's coming out and he's coming off an injury and he did miss a start and it was a hip tweak and it's something he openly said, oh, I've dealt with this before. It's probably nothing serious, but it's still something and a bit of discomfort that he's dealt with in his career. And he's been around for a long time, so if he knows his body that well, at the first sign of trouble, he may say, hey, this thing's not going right. And again, they only got four innings out of Anderson last night. You know, you had the bullpen go a lot of innings yesterday. So even though they had two off days this week, and I think that helps out a little bit, I think you do look today to say, hey, if he gets into trouble early or there's some discomfort, you've got to be ready to go. But as we talked about with the ball flying out of the ballpark, he's a sinker baller. I think he's the type of guy you want on the hill for a game like tonight.
That's 100%. I threw that out earlier today. He's got to keep the ball down. And of course, this whole lineup the Diamondbacks are throwing out there, they lost so much talent. But again, Kentel Marte, who's a switch hitter, just went off last night with four hits. You know, their lineup, they're just trying to win games right now. They lost five in a row. They've been losing streaks more than winning streaks. So I think today is really a big day for the Giants. They need to win, and they need to win today, tomorrow. They need to win Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because these are the teams that they have to dominate before they get into San Diego next weekend.
Well, after the last time they played the Diamondbacks, I had a pretty good feeling that, like, the Giants were beating teams that they were supposed to beat, right? Like, that they were better than some teams in the division. And a team like the Diamondbacks, who dismantled this week, you can't come out and lose games like that. Now, the Colorado game the other day when you split in the day game and Coonrod comes in and gives up the triple to Kevin Pillar, that's just going to happen. And if you take a split in Colorado, I think that's probably best-case scenario. I didn't hate that loss. But I'm with you. I feel like you got to beat the Diamondbacks. I feel like you got to take down the Mariners when you play them this week because the schedule doesn't get much easier. You're going to get the Padres. You're going to get the A's. You're going to see some tough teams. And I think being right under 500 is, like, at the end of the season is going to be kind of the borderline mark for who's going to get in. It's going to be close. There could be some ties at the end of the year, but I really do feel like it's going to be a team that can finish a game or two games above 500 that's going to get that last bit into the postseason. It's going to be close. And so games like last night where you really feel like you have it in hand and then one mental mistake really takes you out of it, those are the games that I think you think about if you miss out on the postseason by a couple of games.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break here on the KNBR pregame show. Adam Copeland joining me. Bill Lasky for Marty Lurie. We'll be right back on KNBR, the sports leader. All right, welcome back to the KNBR pregame show. Bill Lasky in for Marty Lurie. Adam Copeland is my guest on the pregame show. Adam, you know, we always look at Farhan and Scott Harris picking up players and giving them opportunities, but I tell you, one guy that's really getting my attention is Daniel Robertson, really filling in well at shortstop, third. He's hitting 600 at this early part and jumping over. What do you think about Daniel Robertson?
Well, I think 600 is pretty good, Bill. the other thing, yeah, I think he's kind of like he's kind of a prototypical Farhan guy, right? Like he's I don't know that anybody ever believed Chris Taylor with the Dodgers was going to be like a 20 homer guy or a 780 or an 800 OPS guy. when he was with the Mariners, he was, I mean, he was just kind of a utility player, sort of a soft hitting second baseman shortstop. And then they moved him out to center field with the Dodgers. And I feel like that's kind of what Mauricio Dubon can be. I don't think with that much pop, but I think that's also what Daniel Robertson is. So I love a guy who can play multiple positions. He's going to spell different guys. He can bat against the left-hander throughout the lineup as a right-handed bat. And so, I think he's kind of a prototypical guy. And this is kind of what happened last year where we saw Farhan and Scott bring in these, we saw Farhan bring in guys like Donovan Solano. Now, Robertson a little bit younger, but these guys are the types of guys that end up being staples. As we talked about even last week with utility guys on long-run teams or on dynastic teams where you've got to have guys who can fill roles. And the Giants know that with guys like Joaquin Arias, right? He was such a key cog in the World Series runs that you got to have these types of players. So I like him. I like the prospect of having a guy who can spell at second and at short and play some outfield for you if you need it.
Yeah, I tell you what, Adam, he went right to the San Francisco Giant fans coming in saying, oh, yeah, Matt Duffy and I were close in Tampa, and everybody loved Matt Duffy. So I was like, hey, we like this guy already.
But, you got to pander to the fans, and the politics of it are good, man. I remember when Tyler Heidemann first signed, and he meant no ill will by it, but he shot out a tweet saying, hey, San Fran, what's going on? And
I remember that.
Crushed him, like, dude, you can't say San Fran. But he knew what he was doing.
Quickly.
I also wondered, do you think Matt Duffy told him, like, hey, bro, just say my name, and they'll go nuts for it, man.
Oh, yeah, bring in the cat, bring in all my other things, bring my animals in, and everybody's going to join you, and they love you now. But, hey, exactly. Props to him, man, at working it. Yeah. I'll tell you what, opened my eyes because he's kind of like a Trevor Story in a bat. You know, his hands are back, and, you know, there's different situations when I see guys play, and you start thinking, wow, what does he look like? What is he? How does he hit? But I tell you what, he's impressed me so far, and I think you hit it right on the head. He plays multiple positions, and you know, Craw's been hitting the ball so well. I was hoping I'd see Craw against Bumgarner today, but that didn't happen. We're going to see Belt instead. But I think this was a good pickup by the Giants, and somewhere down the road, he may fit into different scenarios.
Well, we already saw them kind of do that. Remember they went and they got Yolmer Sanchez, and we saw him through spring training. And I think probably if the season had started, no pandemic and we're starting at the normal time, we probably would have seen some Yolmer Sanchez. We probably would have seen Billy Hamilton, a couple of guys who they were using a lot in camp and that are now no longer with the team. But I think that because of the bat and not as good of a glove, but because of what he can do on the infield, I think that they find a little more value in him. And the fact that he is I wouldn't call him an offensive weapon, but the fact that he can hit a little bit and better than Yolmer Sanchez could, I think, in Sacramento, he's more of an asset. And I think that having these guys is really key. They were missing a right-handed bat, I felt like, for the outfield. I think ideally maybe Mauricio Dubon is not your everyday center fielder against left-handed pitching, but that's kind of where they are right now. And because Mike Yastrzemski is a left-handed bat and he hits so well, and you see Austin Slater in there leading off tonight, you feel like you got a little bit more back with the right-handed side of the plate. But having to have Darren Ruff in left field is not ideal. So I think adding a player like that with that versatility gives you more options down the road.
Well, there's no doubt the Giants have cleaned up physical errors. And, of course, yesterday's game with Dubon doing the mental error, keeping his head down, going to third. You know, those are some of the things that are growing pains. But I just loved what he did at the end of the game. Hey, I take it upon myself. I screwed up. You don't see that out of young players that much. You usually just see them diving from reports or, you know, now everything's a Zoom interview. But those are things that I look at young players stepping up. And Gabe Kapler said he talked to him, and he says, hey, I did wrong. I cost him the game. I don't think he cost him the game, but I think he's putting it on his shoulders by saying, look, I made a mistake. I'll never do it again. And that's what I love to see in a young player, especially now. You got 21 games left. You can't make these mental mistakes now.
Well, and we saw some of these mental mistakes earlier in the season, you know, Chadwick Trump in Colorado being up the line, sort of the brain fart throw from yeah. Alex Dickerson. But you mentioned that some of these guys are young, and I think the Giants right now finding themselves in a spot that, I mean, I don't think they'll ever tell you that they didn't expect to be in a little bit of a hunt, but I think they're surprising some of us, the fact that we're, you know, 22 games out or 23 games out, whatever it is from the end of the season, and they're in the mix that we're talking about games being meaningful is really all any baseball fan can ask for when you get to September, right, is you want to play meaningful baseball. So when you look back and you say, well, why did they lose that game? It was a huge opportunity there, and he, you know, has a brain fart play where he puts his head down. He knew exactly why it was Then he made the mistake. He thought he kind of got deked there at third base by Steven Duggar, thinking he was going to come home. Yeah, I think the other part of this is you can't wear on him hard about it, especially as a veteran, because you need him in the ballgame today. You know what I mean? You can't have a guy out there, and Bill, you know this, like, a scared ball player is the worst thing to have. A guy who's thinking too much, a guy who is afraid to make a play, a guy who doesn't know it, that's when you start making mental mistakes. So a guy who's going to wear it, I love that, and says, "Hey, I made the mistake. I cost us the game. I'm with you. It was a crucial error. I err on the side that it probably did cost them more than we're saying, but they had opportunities after that. They didn't take care of business. So that's where your teammates got to pick you up. But I think from a veteran standpoint, and you might agree that they say, hey, we need you in there today. We need you to have tough at-bats against Madison Bumgarner and play a flawless center field at Oracle Park. So,
yeah, and I tell you what, Adam, he made some nice grabs yesterday. That one over his right shoulder all the way to the wall and then the one coming in. He's definitely got the speed and the agility going left and right to play center field. But I'm with you. I don't know if he's a everyday center fielder. And I tell you what, Yaz has been playing right field tough. There's been some balls that have been crushed out there that he's tried to make some great catches on. And he's come close, but the defense has definitely stepped up. The Giants right now are second in Major League Baseball with 10 hits or more in each game. They've done it 18 times. What do you see in this Giants offense that you haven't seen in years past?
Well, I think the obvious stat that everybody talks about is the two-strike hitting, right? Like it's really weird because it's totally different than, like, even when I played high school baseball. Like, it's the whole, when you get two strikes on you and you're behind in the count, just put the ball in play. Like, make the line used to always be just make the defense make a play, right? Mm-hmm. Make them throw you out, make them catch the ball. Make them do everything perfect. And I guess at the lower levels, that works more. When you get to the big league level and you get to college baseball and where guys just aren't making the same mistakes, now where the goal is, no matter what your count is, just do damage to the pitch that's your pitch. The Giants maybe do that right now in two strike counts, certainly better than any team in baseball. As far as the number of hits, it's crazy because they don't hit tons and tons of home runs, but they just sort of double you to death, which that'll work. You know what I mean? Doubles, you got to trade places with a guy on second base. That's okay. So, I don't know what it is. I don't know that it's approach, but right now, the other thing about this, Bill, is I think you and I would agree that when the Giants fell to like 8-15 or whatever it was when Trevor Gott blew those
games. Yeah, 8-16. That were exactly.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about it that Monday, right? Remember?
We
and
did.
Then that night was the Tommy LaStella walk-off. And you and I were frustrated with the straight, you know, let's play the numbers on every move. Mm-hmm. And it feels to me like over the last 2 weeks or the last, I don't know, 13 days, 12 days, Gabe Kapler has certainly managed differently than he had for the first
100% agree with you.
Because I feel like now he's managing more sometimes to a guy who's got a hot hand. He's playing mm-hmm. to a guy who might have a feel against a certain pitcher rather than just this is an approach play where we've got to play the right-handed lineup against the left-handed. And I think a prime example of that is playing Dickerson the other day after the three home runs. Mm-hmm. We kind of joke, like, they're going to sit him down? He had an RBI double in that game.
Same identical thing with Belt. I didn't think he would play today.
So. Yeah, exactly. And it's happened with Crawford, too, where Crawford's been in there against some lefties because you'll trust his glove, and he's had such a good approach that guys have played their way into the lineup. So I think there's a lot of things going on outside of just absolutely we give credit to approach. Absolutely, that's why they're hitting and why they're competitive every day. But I think some credit has to go to Farhan and Gabe in the adjustments that have been made in the last 2 to 3 weeks because I genuinely think he's managing games differently than he was.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. The only thing I question is what he did with Sam Coonrod after he was the closer last Sunday and he threw him kind of in the middle of the game on Wednesday and did it again yesterday. And I'm just kind of scratching my head because you and I talk about the bullpen and set roles, but I thought it was set. I really did. I really thought he finally got a conclusion of who's going to be the setup men with Rodgers and Watson and Trevor Gott was going to be the sixth and seventh. And then he brings Sam Coonrod in and just blew my mind. I was just frustrated. And then he walked a leadoff hitter, and I'm just like, oh, my goodness, he's blowing up this kid. And to this day, and I'm telling you my opinion, I really think he did. He has really got him confused now going out there. When he came back throwing 101, he was dominant. He had confidence. Now I think he's second-guessing himself.
I was so fired up, Bill. I went and I picked up Sam Coonrod in our fantasy baseball league in KBR. I was like, this guy's a closer now. He's going to get me some saves. Dude, no joke. I did it mid outing when he was out there on the ninth.
So you believe the same thing I did. You believe the same thing.
So I did in the moment. But here's what I'll say to defend Gabe Kapler, at least in that situation. After that game, the beat writers asked him, and to their credit, they kind of were like, so this is the guy, right? You believe he's got closer stuff. He's out here pumping 101 on the hands for really tough guys. And what Kapler said was, hey, to be clear, like, he's been very good. His stuff has been excellent. We've got a lot of guys right now who are getting out against tough hitters. And I think what he's trying to do, and this is where the matchup stuff sometimes becomes frustrating, especially with the three batter minimum, is now he's trying to match up in the late innings. Sometimes that old axiom of, like, sometimes the save isn't always in the ninth inning, but you still got to get those last three outs in the ninth inning. He did say after the ball game, when he brought him in to get that first save of his career, he says he's got closer stuff, but he does think as long as he can pound the strike zone, as long as he can throw strikes, then he could be that closer. I don't think he bought in, at least out of that outing. I think what Kapler saw was a great opportunity, but even the night before, he had Tyler Rogers close the ball game out. So I think he looked at that and he saw an opportunity to say, okay, cool, now we can start using him in these high leverage situations where he's going to see a Trevor Story, he's going to see an Arenado, he's going to face a tough heart of a lineup of a team. But if he's not throwing strikes, it does us no good to put him out there. And we kind of saw that over the last couple of outings where maybe it was part of what you're talking about, Bill, where he's a little confused now because of the role. But I also buy into the idea that maybe after one time in the ninth inning, you shouldn't be so focused on that just being your job. It should be, let's go out and get three outs. So I was with you. I was all in. I thought he had the stuff. He had the look.
So did I.
He had the feel.
I still do. But I still do. Maybe he just needs to get out there more, Adam, and get more confidence. And it's always that first hitter. And you know right off the bat, you're watching ball like I am. And that first hitter, when he's all over the place, I'm just like, there he goes. He's going off again. And he doesn't have the confidence to kind of regress and try to hit a spot or try to get ahead of a hitter. And we're going to see him. He's definitely a relief pitcher in progress. I mean, this guy's got stuff to be a closer. You and I both agree to that, and many Giant fans do too. When you see him blowing 101, it's just the confidence factor, and we talked about that last week with Sam Coonrod having that confidence. And I think once you start putting zeros in there consistently, he might be back in that closer role, and I hope your money's worth it then.
I hope so too, but we're running out of days here, Bill. There's not a whole lot of season left. You know what I mean? I'm buried in eighth place. I'm trying to claw my way out now. I need these Coonrod outings, man.
Well, listen, the Giants are 5-2 against the D-backs. These next three games are so important, and I talk about this with only 21 games left. It's a sprint now. I mean, there's nothing that you can catch up on. You got to get some W's, and tonight's that big W. A lot of Giant eyes are going to be watching number 40 in that opposing in that uniform. But I tell you what, you can't lose to Arizona 3 out of 4 here, and you definitely can't split with Seattle. These have to be W's. Any way you do it, you're the home team. You got the last at bat. I'm hoping to see a good game today.
I think you need 4 of the next 5 is what we're looking at. I think you need the next 3. If you split with Seattle, you got to take the next 3 against Arizona here. I really think it's important after the last couple of ball games and after how last night went down. But let me ask you, does it feel like, I mean, it's September and we got a little bit of tenderness. Does it feel like it? Like we're
no,
we
not at all.
We got into it and now we're right.
And I tell you what, Adam, every day I do the countdown. I'm literally counting. I'm like, was it 22 yesterday? Was it 21? Because it's just going so fast. And you know it as well as I did. You take 60 and you're like, okay, 60 miles. And I'm just like, this is ridiculous, you know, because it's 162 game schedule. And a lot of times I'm just like, oh my God, 21 games, that's it. And then you start looking at the rest of the schedule. And, of course, the last 3 weekends have been the Diamondbacks. That's all I've been talking about the last 3 weekends.
I'm
anxious to talk. Yeah. I'm anxious to talk about the Padres next weekend. But we got to get there. The Giants have to get some wins on the board. And I always talk about you got to get to 500 if you're going to be a wild card team. And there's a lot of teams in the Central that are competing. When you look at Cincinnati, Milwaukee, St. Louis, those are teams that are starting to play better baseball, and the Giants have to get some wins here.
Well, it's a great point because teams like that, like St. Louis and Milwaukee, have a bunch of makeup games coming up against each other, too, where they're playing a lot of doubleheaders. So that wild card picture is going to get real jumbled really quick at the end of the season where they're making up ball games from rainouts and COVID stuff from earlier in the season. So you're right. These are commodity wins here, Bill.
Adam Copeland's always the best, buddy. It's always good talking to you. You have a great rest of the evening. Have a great Labor Day. I'll talk to you Monday. And again, Adam Copeland's my guest on the pregame show on KNBR, the sports leader. Thanks, Adam.
Catch you later, Bill.
We'll be right back on the pregame show.